And we're privileged again. Last week we were privileged to hear Joshua sing, and we're going to be doubly privileged because he's going to sing for us this morning. And he's going to sing The Light of the World, which was written by Philip Bliss. And we will have a point or two about Philip Bliss after Joshua finishes singing. So Joshua, if you would come, please. Joshua, appreciate that. And Tommy, we appreciate the candles and representing, of course, Christ has come now so we can light the candles. And thank you. All right, now then let's have a point or two about the guy that wrote that song. I found it quite interesting. But his name is Philip Bliss, and he is the second most famous Christian songwriter in history. And had he lived as long as his peers, he very well could have surpassed the other three. But a tragic train wreck snuffed out his life in his 38th year. For 12 years, he wrote both words and music to such hymns as Almost Persuaded, Dare to Be a Daniel, Hallelujah, 'Tis Done, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Hold the Fort, Jesus Loves Even Me, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Once for All, The Light of the World is Jesus, Whosoever Will, and Wonderful Words of Life. He wrote only the words for It Is Well With My Soul and Precious Promises. There were and are hundreds more that he has written. Mr. Bliss was born with a melody in his heart in a log cabin near Rome, Pennsylvania. His father was Mr. Isaac Bliss, who was a dedicated Christian. The first spiritual recollections that Bliss had of his father were the daily family prayers. These prayers were ingrained in his childhood memory. Bliss had little schooling, save his father's singing and his mother's home schooling. The Bible became an ever-growing influence in his life. When he was 11 years old, in 1849, he left home to make a living for himself. He was to spend the next 5 years working in logging and lumber camps and sawmills. At the age of 12, he made a public confession of Christ and joined the Baptist Church of Cherry Flats, Pennsylvania. He does not recall a time when he did not love the Lord Jesus Christ, but this was the official time, quote, close quote, of his conversion. At age 17 in 1855, he decided he would take a final step in preparation for his life's work. So he decided he would be a teacher. He went to Bradford City, Pennsylvania, and finished his requirements for his teaching credentials. The next year, Philip was the new schoolmaster at Hartsville, New York. In 1858, he was appointed a teacher in the Rome, Pennsylvania Academy. Here he met a fine young lady named Lucy Young, who was to become his bride. He had grown to love her deeply and to admire her for her wonderful Christian life. The young groom worked on his father-in-law's farm for $13 a month while he continued to study music. He taught music pupils in the evening to supplement his income. And for the next 8 years, between 1865 and 1873, he and his wife held musical conventions, singing schools, and sacred concerts under the sponsorship of several employers and evangelists. I will say this, he was also not just a writer of songs and both music and words, but he was a singer. He sang quite often at evangelical crusades. Well, on a summer night in 1869, while passing a revival meeting in a church where Dwight L. Moody was preaching, Mr. Bliss went inside to listen. Mr. Moody urged him to give up his business and become a singing evangelist. During the winter of 1873, Moody again urged him in a letter from Scotland to devote his entire time to evangelistic singing. Mr. Bliss was facing a time of decision. So, at a prayer meeting, he gave up everything. His musical conventions, his writing of secular songs, his business position, his work at the church, so that he could be free to devote full time to the singing of sacred music in evangelism. A gospel team consisting of a guy by the name of Whittle and Bliss was born. Depending upon the Lord to take care of his wife and two children, he became a full-time musical evangelist. Mr. Bliss compiled a revival songbook, which turned out to be very, very popular and was used in various campaigns. The book was simply called Gospel Songs. It was a tremendous success. For example, it brought in $30,000 in royalties. Now remember, this is back way back when, $30,000 was a lot of money. And then there are reports from others who say those royalties continued and he received another $60,000 for the book, Songbooks. And by the way, he gave both the $30,000 to charity. He gave $30,000 to Whittle and he gave $60,000 to charity. So on Friday, November the 24th, 1876, Mr. Bliss sang at a minister's meeting conducted by Dwight L. Moody in Chicago's Farewell Hall. Over 1,000 preachers were there. It was here he introduced a new song, It Is Well With My Soul. Then the day that was to stun the Christian world arrived. On December 29th, 1876, the train, the Pacific Express, was struggling along in a blinding snowstorm and was about 3 hours late on Friday afternoon. 11 coaches pulled by two engines were creeping through the huge drifts approaching Ashtabula, Ohio. Passing over a trestle bridge that was spanning a river, the first engine reached solid ground on the other side, but everything else plummeted 75 feet into a ravine below. 5 minutes after the train fell, fire broke out. Fanned by gale-like winds, the wooden coaches were ablaze. Mr. Bliss succeeded in extricating himself and crawling to safety through a window. Finding his wife pinned under the ironwork of the seats, he returned into the car and bravely remained at her side, trying to extricate her as the flames took their toll. All that remained was a charred mass. No trace of their bodies were ever found. Memorial services were held through the nation for a beloved couple. No private citizen's death brought more grief to the nation. On December 31st, D.L. Moody spoke at a memorial gathering in Chicago. On January the 5th, a song service was held to honor Mr. Bliss, and 8,000 filled the hall, and another 4,000 were on the outside. Now, here are a few stories of actually three of his more popular hymns. First of all, Almost Persuaded. And outside of Just As I Am, this has been the most successful gospel invitation song ever written. In the early 1870s, Mr. Bliss was listening to a sermon by Reverend Brundage, a friend of his, in a little church in the East. The preacher closed his appeal with, "He who is almost persuaded is almost saved. But to be almost saved is to be eternally lost." And it was these words that impressed Bliss so deeply that led him to write that great hymn, Almost Persuaded. All right, then there's Jesus Loves Even Me. One night, Bliss, weary after many days of labor in downtown Chicago, was resting at the Whittle House on South 43rd Street, and his heart was overflowing with joy, and he sat meditating on Romans 5:5-6. And I shall read, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." or when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So as he meditated and prayed with tears in his eyes, he took pencil and paper and wrote, "I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given." And then there's "Let the lower lights be burning." On occasion, Mr. Bliss would travel with Moody and be a participant at his meetings. One time, Mr. Moody was telling the story of a shipwreck in one of his messages. On a dark, stormy night, a large passenger boat cautiously edged toward the Cleveland Harbor. The pilot knew that he could only find the harbor channel by keeping two lower shore lights in line with the main beacon. "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" asked the captain. "Quite sure, sir," replied the pilot. "Where are the lower lights?" he asked. "Gone out, sir," was the reply. The pilot turned the wheel, but in the darkness he missed the channel. The boat crashed on the rocks, and many lives were lost that night. Mr. Moody's closing words were, "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." At the next meeting with Mr. Moody, Mr. Bliss sang this song, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning." And it was published in 1874. It is said that this was the favorite hymn of Billy Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the privilege of men like Mr. Bliss who have devoted their life to songs of inspiration, both to sing them, to write them, and to write them. And we're grateful in such a short time, he was so productive. And for this attention to duty, we're grateful. Now guide us and direct us as we're going to continue to sing your praises and complete our worship service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.